Senate Bill number 310, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill number 310, introduced by Senator Wilkie and Taylor. A bill to be entitled an act to amend Chapter 14, Section 197 of the General Statutes of North Carolina by removing Swain County as an exempted county from provision of this, the act relating to the use of indecent language, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Buckham, Mr. Hyde. What purpose, gentlemen, arise?
Speak on this bill, sir.
The gentleman has the floor and may proceed.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, you may have noticed the morning paper and read something in there about me. I want you to disabuse your minds at the moment about that. I have no humor whatever when it comes to such bills as this. If I should sound humorous, don't take it that way. I'm dead serious about this. And, Mr. Speaker, let me say, of course, this is a local bill. And I no longer live in Swain County. I represent Buncombe in Transylvania. But this is a bill which affects my people, my kin folks, my friends, my Cherokee cousins, and I must speak concerning it. This is an iniquitous bill, ladies and gentlemen of the House, and ought not to pass. The present statute, 14-197, reads, and I'll try to read it the best I can. I don't understand it, but I'll read it anyhow. If any person shall, on any public road or highway, and in the hearing of two or more persons, in a loud and boisterous manner, use indecent or profane language, he shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and put in jail. Now, it doesn't say what's profane, and it doesn't say what's indecent, and I don't know. And most folks in Swain County don't know, and if you pass this, you're going to put them in jeopardy. Now, Mr. Speaker, I had come up here thinking that perhaps I ought to amend this bill and let it pass out of deference to those who had offered it, and I thought about it and drew some amendments. But I know how these amendments come in, and folks think you're just trying to play around or be humorous or something, and I'm not going to offer them. But I'm going to try to tell you about them so you'll understand why I object. Now, the First Amendment would have read that provided, however, that is to Swain County, this act shall not apply to any person who drives a steer, rides a mule, or runs for public office. Mr. Speaker, I'm telling you, if you've ever tried to work a mule, you know what I'm talking about. A fellow's got a... My Uncle Fidelity Hyde, well, his name was Fidel, but we call him Fide for short. Uncle Fide Hyde. Great uncle. Great uncle. And there wasn't anything great about him except relationship, now you understand. But he told me any man had to work around a mule ought not try to be a preacher because he's bound to cuss. And that's true. I've seen a lot of mules and tried to work them. I'm talking about mules for the benefit of you folks back here, not donkeys. That's different. Now, a donkey is a proud animal. He has a great ancestor. But a mule, as you know, he didn't come from nowhere, and he ain't going nowhere. He's without pride of ancestry or hope of posterity. It's no wonder they're cantankerous. I've seen mules, Mr. Speaker, about as cantankerous, almost, not quite, as a back row legislator with a resolution in his hand. And if you've ever seen one try to eat sawbriars through a picket fence, reminds me of John Ingram when he appears before the insurance committee. That grin out there like... Now, this language in this bill is so indefinite, I thought perhaps if you all didn't adopt that amendment, I might offer another one, which is equally vague as the bill itself, which reads, provided, however, that this act shall not apply in any case where there is sufficient provocation. Then, you know, if you get mad enough, you cuss with impunity. But now let's get down to this. I've heard some talk that took place over in the Senate about the Cherokee Indians, and I know the Cherokees. I've lived among them, and I talk a little Cherokee. I don't cuss any. Now, you can't cuss in Cherokee. That's misinformation. Cherokee is a beautiful, romantic language. It has no harsh, percussive sounds in it. The only letter where you have to close your lips in Cherokee is the letter M. You can talk all day and smile. You can, you know, give the other fellow a rough time, but you smile at him all the time. You might scalp him, but you're still smiling, you see, while you're at it. But the Cherokees don't cuss, and most Swain County folks don't cuss publicly. Senator Crawford just swore to me the other day that he lived there 25 years. And never heard anybody cuss. That's what he said. Of course, you know about these senators. They put you on sometimes. What we come down to is this. So this act is obviously unconstitutional, no question about it. But the folks in Swain wouldn't want me to stand on that kind of technicality, and I'm not going to do that. Most of them don't like technicalities, and they get in court anyhow themselves, and they wouldn't want me to do that, so we'll skip over that. And as between us, we'll forget it. But there ought to be a refuge somewhere where a man could go, and when he really is provoked, that he can say something with impunity. There's only two places left, Pitt and Swain. One in the east and one in the west. I think it's most appropriate. I want to call your attention to this. Talking about the Cherokees, and I've got W.H. Arthur's History of Western North Carolina here in front of me. And on page 567, if anybody wants to check it, he's trying. Now, he's got a lot of myths in here. A lot of folks read this and believe it. Maybe ought not to do that, but now this is probably so. He's trying to draw a parallel. He says that the Cherokees are the lost tribe of Israel. I don't believe that, but he's got some things in here. He says they had annual festivals, performed morning and evening sacrifices, offered their first fruits to God, and there were cities of refuge to which offenders might fly and be saved. That's up in Swain County among the Cherokees. That's all I want, a place of refuge, a sanctuary where a man can go and cuss with impunity. Now, that's not too much to ask, I shouldn't think. Most folks get provoked sometimes, say a little something wrong. And now let's get into the history of this bill. 1913, this bill was offered. And in this house at that time was a grand old gentleman from the mountains. He was a foot-stomping, fire-breathing, fearsome Republican. Otherwise, he was a pretty good fella. Mr. Goldie Ferguson, I knew him. He was a great fella. He came down here representing Swain County. And this bill was passed, and 27 counties were exempt. Now, Mr. Ferguson was a humane individual. He understood the frailties of human nature, and we all have our little sins and foibles. He knew that. He was a mountain man, and so he exempted Swain County. And for 60 years, it's been exempt. And now it comes down here. I'm sorry to have to say, some Republican senators and offer this bill. And the folks at home now are not going to think too kindly of that. I'm afraid they're going to say they've mistrusted their friends. It reminds me of the book in the Bible of Zechariah, about the 13th chapter, the 6th verse, Mr. President. And it says this, "And then one shall ask him, what are those wounds in thy hands? And he shall answer, the wounds that I received in the house of my friends." And I'm afraid the folks in Swain are going to think that about these people. They, you know, really, we're sacrificing the good name of a great county here by even suggesting that these folks are going to get out on the streets and highways in a loud and boisterous voice using decent and profane language. Shakespeare once said, if I can quote it correctly, he says, "Who steals my purse steals trash. 'Tis something nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slaved a thousand. But he who filches from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed." Now, Swain County is a poor little county. It's got very little left. Nothing except its liberty. And if you should take that away, and if you should filch from her good name, she would be poor indeed. Mr. Speaker, I say to this General Assembly, do not heap this indignity upon her fair head. Let her stand once again and lift her head in prize. Let her go forth even as an innocent woman in virtue, unsullied, unharmed, and undamned by this iniquitous bill.
Further discussion? The gentleman.